are not always so easy to arrange. Gathering for well-being and mentoring of medical students here in Second Life. Just a few words of introduction, then we're going to dive right in. First of all, a really big thank you to Boston University School of Medicine, which offers this space to us. We're so appreciative to Neil and Robin Hayden, who have all the computer smarts to make this work, to Pam, who is an amazing guru, who really, without whom we couldn't make it happen. And in particular, tonight, a huge thank you to our presenters, Dr. Monty Douglas and Dr. Catherine Frazier, who will be speaking with us about this very important topic of assertiveness and really finding a way to help our learners and help ourselves find our voice as we move through that very challenging road through medical education. There's a lot of other words of introduction about Second Life, but I think we're going to just dive right into the presentation at this point. And you know, if at any point you have any questions, or if you're having any technical trouble, you can send an IM to either Spiral Theus or Pam T52 to myself. The way you do that is you just hover your cursor over my avatar, and you see that little eye, you click on it. When you are on my avatar, you click on it, and then you will see a place that offers you an IM, an instant message. All right, so with no further interruptions, a huge thank you and welcome, and we look forward to your presentation. Doctors Douglas and Frazier, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I'm having some audio problems. Can everyone hear me?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I'm Catherine Frazier. I'm the behavioral medicine coordinator in the Daytona. And, I'll ask Dr. Douglas to introduce himself also.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Yes, I'm Chair of Family and Community Medicine at New York Medical College in Westchester, and I'm also Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion here. And then it's a real pleasure to be presenting in this virtual world, you know, my first time, and I'm very excited. Before we start, so what I'm seeing on the screen, 1, 2, 3, 4, these four students, and then and then Jeff, is that what's here tonight? Just want to make sure the audience.
We don't quite actually have that many students. Many of us are faculty members, so we may have one or two students at the most at this point. But we will record this and hopefully have posted for other students in the future.
Okay.
All right.
We should be looking at the slides, I guess, Catherine, or you already have them in front of you or something.
Yes, I am that I can see the slides. You can't see the slides, Monty?
Yeah, no, I think they're sort of, you know, tangential to me, so maybe enough to.
Yes, either Pam or Jeff should be able to tell you how to.
The way to do it, Monty, is to go down to camera controls and then click on the little left. There's an eye and change from rear view to front view while you're standing where you're standing. And that way you should be able to be seen by us in the front, but be able to see your slides from the back. See how that works.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go back to the seat then.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Can you still see the slides, Monty?
No, I have to.
Probably need to go back to camera control.
Uh-huh.
Select front view, I think.
front view, right?
See if that helps. Just use your arrow keys to move their, your sort of eyes around, kind of.
Okay.
Can you see them now, Monty?
I need to raise it up a little.
The other thing is you can come stand closer to us, stand away from your, the slides and look back upon them. That works too.
Alright, I'll do that. Okay.
Now turn around.
Okay, you can see them now?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go ahead and get started. So, I see a message somebody can barely hear. Can someone explain how to turn my volume up?
Best way is to for whoever can't hear Catherine, to just put your cursor over her and click, and you'll get a little box, and that will give you a little volume control for that avatar.
Okay, so let me go ahead and get started.
One last thing is, anybody who's not speaking, just click, and that way we won't hear any noise from her. Okay, let's go.
Okay. So, why talk about assertiveness in medical education in the first place? Well, assertiveness is it's really about being able to ask what you want and to be able to express yourself clearly and honestly. And, you know, it's important for the students to remember that the world of medical education is a highly competitive world. And so, you know, there may be times when you're being asked questions or being called upon, and you have the answers inside you, but you don't quite have the confidence to get them out. Or you may have questions or things that you need from other folks, and still you're nervous about asking. And so if you can work on your assertiveness skills, then you can be able to be more direct in asking and what you need. And so in our presentation today, we're going to be talking about how we can give you some tips on being more assertive, but also on some of the underlying feelings and issues that make it difficult for you to be assertive and what you can possibly do about that. So before we go on to this slide, I'll just ask Monty, did you want to say anything else by way of introduction?
Yes. What I would say is that assertiveness really has to do with you having the ability to be responsible for your education. You know, like when it says a set of behaviors that allows you to express your feelings, opinions, beliefs, and needs directly, openly, and honestly, what the way it really applies to medical education is it allows you to be able to demonstrate your knowledge, skills, and attitudes. That's really what we're talking about. And from the time we enter medical school, the very first day, the anatomy lab, you are in a group, you know, dissecting, you know, prosecting, and one has to be able to say and ask questions and feel confident that they can express their knowledge, because that's the only way the faculty in the group is going to know what your needs are and know whether you know what you're talking about. So what we're really talking about is the bread and butter of medical education, you know, and how it's delivered in our medical schools, and your ability to do that, your ability to be assertive, really relates directly to the day-to-day of your medical education.
Very much so. So, again, just to add to the definition, one of the things that Monty and I really liked about this literature that we looked at was the notion of assertiveness being about respecting yourself and your needs as well as others. And so, you know, it's about finding just that right balance where you are expressing what you need, but you're doing it in a respectful way. So you're not putting your needs aside for the sake of others, and you're not solely focusing on your needs. But you're able to clearly reflect upon what you need and what you want to say, and able to stay. So when you take an assertive approach to your self-expression, you can learn to decide quickly and efficiently what to say on the spot and feel a sense of confidence about it. So we're going to be building on some of these ideas and thoughts as we presentation. Next slide, please.
Went too far.
Okay, so I'm not sure this is the right slide. The next slide I have says benefits. There we go. Okay. So,
sorry.
What are the positive aspects of assertiveness? How does assertiveness help you? Well, when you can make statements directly and openly, you'll find that people really appreciate your honesty and your directness. To treat people with respect, assertiveness conveys mutual respect. So it's not demanding things from the other person, respectfully asking them for something, or respectfully expressing your opinion, even if it's not necessarily what the other person needs. And then also, when you are able to be assertive, you appear confident and you're able to speak without anxiety. And that's tricky, because the confidence really has to come before the assertiveness. But we'll talk more about that further on in the presentation. So some other benefits. By being assertive, are not violating other people's rights, meaning you're not being aggressive or letting your negative emotions come into it, being able to express your differing opinions in a way that's really okay and legitimate. Also, when you're assertive, you avoid the problem of expecting that others are going to know your thoughts. So, you know, you can't assume that others already know what you're thinking. I think sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I don't really need to say this because it must be obvious. But when you take an assertive approach and take time to prepare and present how you're going to present yourself, then you know that there it's clear between you and the other person trying to express. And the other thing is, you're able to communicate assertively, have a certain amount of confidence, then you avoid freezing up because you get anxious and you worry about what you're going to say. So taking an assertive approach allows you to prepare yourself, become composed, think clearly about how you want to present yourself. And Monty, I'll let you go ahead and add your comment.
Yes, what we're really talking about when all this boils down to is really very much a spectrum of assertiveness. That someone being assertive in medicine, for example, in a medicine rotation, those same behaviors could be passive on a surgery rotation, because we're really talking about a spectrum. You know, what's considered the norm in a surgical type field, where they tend to be a little more aggressive, you know? So I think that what would really help is, as we go into conversation and give examples about what specific encounters that students have or have had that they would like to get our support on, and our opinions and our thoughts in terms of how would we have said it differently, you know, difficulties that they've had, that you've had. I think that's where we'd really be able to better explain what we're talking about, because it's very much on a spectrum. You know, we all know that if you are not aggressive enough, you don't get to do much, you know. You could be, you know, you let's say you generally your students get say, 5 deliveries on an obstetrics rotation, and you go there and you're not assertive enough to push yourself, you know, when the faculty is asking who would like to come, you know, if somebody else might jump in front of you, and your ability to say, you know, look, it's my turn, you know, or just your facial expression, your body posture, all those things very much come into play. And what's good for one rotation is not necessarily good for another. So what we're trying to do is just move you along the spectrum towards being more assertive. That's what we're really talking about.
Certainly, and so when you think of it that way, I think of it as though we all have a certain amount of assertiveness within us, and we all have some situation where we feel assertive and comfortable and confident. And then there are the other situations where we don't feel quite as assertive and maybe need to do more of that. So, you know, we hope that this information helps you to think through some of these things, and we'll talk some more about some specific tips on developing assertiveness. Next slide. So, as I mentioned, our assertiveness is about respecting yourself and respecting others. So you want to be clear about your needs and your desires, and also your beliefs, your understanding, and what you have learned and what you believe to be true. So, you know, one thing I want to say to all the students is that it's important for you to remember that you got to medical school very hard and really deserve it. That you were nice and looked up your applications and said, yes, this person deserves here. And I think you need to remind yourself of that sometimes. Sometimes you can have a crisis of self-confidence, but it's important to remember that you're here because you are a hard worker and you have excelled and you absolutely deserve to be here. So respecting yourself starts with you honoring your word. You want to always think of presenting yourself in an honorable and honest and genuine way, and others will certainly respect you. And Monty, I'll ask you to add your perspective on this also.
Yes. What we mean by that is that no matter how many things that we could tell you, ways to behave that is considered assertive, at the end of the day, it's how it comes out to the it's how it actually comes out that will determine whether it's viewed as assertive or not, or whether it has the impact that you would like it to achieve. And so it's really something that happens automatically. And how does one develop the confidence so that they can be assertive? You know, and so that begins with us really respecting our word, you know, honoring our word. Honoring our word means that if we say something, we do carry it out. And if we can't carry it out, we own up to it, you know. So if you say that, look, I'm going to do 10 pages of this particular chapter tonight, then you're going to do 10 pages of that chapter tonight, and that's what you're going to do. And whether you feel not up to it, or, you know, something comes up, you're able to push that aside and make it happen, you know. So if you make a promise that you're going to keep it, you know, as that keeps happening, where you actually are keeping your word, you yourself become more confident, you know. And so your word actually means something. And when your word means something, then when you speak, you are more careful of what you say, but you are more confident in what you say, because you know what you say really means it's going to happen. So it's very interesting, you know, that sometimes we don't realize a simple thing as our word will make such a difference in our, you know, ability to be, to have integrity, or ability to be assertive. Because assertiveness is really ultimately about confidence, self-confidence, and how we're able to portray that to the people around us.
Yes, so you can see how this, honoring your word, becomes one of the building blocks of self-confidence, which in turn, one of the building blocks of assertiveness. So it's really about developing your own sense of integrity and honesty and dedication. This task that you've set out on as medical students is a very difficult task and requires a lot of dedication. And as long as at the end of the day you're able to say you did your best, then that's something for you to really feel good about it. And so just to wrap up this slide, so not only should you be able to ask for what you want, you should also be able to say no to what you don't want. That's when you are able to say, well, I'm doing so much, I can't do anymore, I can't take any more on. And that, again, is something that is a nice offshoot of that self-confidence and that assertiveness. Next slide.
I would just add one more thing, Catherine, that, you know, on the previous slide, Pam, that, you know, in developing assertiveness, it is something we can actually practice, that as we say yes when we really mean yes and say no when we really mean no, we find that, again, our yeses actually mean something and have more force behind it, because for the last 5 times, 10 times, when we said yes, we actually made yes happen. So we could actually practice that, you know, that when I did say a yes, I mean being able to make a request. You know, I request, I have a question to ask the faculty member. And you feel a little shy, yes, but you're able to still ask a question in spite of your fear or concerns. That gives you confidence, and that's how you develop more assertiveness. Similarly, being able to say no, even when you feel shy about saying no, that somebody says, you know what, I'd like us to go out to the cafeteria, you know, and hang out this evening, and you know, and you had already told yourself that you're going to be studying tonight. Well, being able to say no in a situation like that, that gives you confidence, because every time you do that, then your no actually means something, again, honoring your word. So that's what I mean by, you know, it is possible to practice that, you know, this is the stuff. Yes, some people are born with that, but even if you're born with it, then you can move from point A to point B and develop more confidence. And with that confidence comes assertiveness. Because at the end of the day, again, it's how it comes out, you know, and if it's not coming out genuinely as assertive, if it's made up or contrived, it's not going to look as good as what I'm trying to explain, which is building it from the inside as opposed to the outside.
Yes, very good point, Monty. And on that note, I'd like to encourage students and everyone else in the audience to think about some examples where perhaps you felt you did a job of the process, and maybe sometimes you felt you missed out on something. That moment, we'll try to get to those examples at the end of part. Okay, next slide. So, how does one appear assertive? So we talked about some of the barriers to lack of self-confidence, how you can build up your self-confidence, honoring your word, correct, honest. And so when you go to try to present yourself in an assertive manner, you know, we encourage direct eye contact, shows self-confidence and that you believe in yourself, a good body posture, standing erect, head up, facing the person directly, using gestures appropriately, but not much, where you're making your point, but not creating distractions, having a genuinely positive facial expression that shows that you believe in what you're conveying. You know, if you're in some kind of a teaching or a learning situation, present yourself in a positive manner, convey the sense that you believe in what you're doing, your dedication and so on. Or even when you're asking for something and it may be something that it is difficulty for you, you need some help with something, but really to present yourself honestly, sincerely, and in a positive way that expresses how important it is for you to achieve this aspect of your education. Tone of voice is very important, being able to calmly, confidently, and in such a way that you convey respect and a sense of maturity in the way that you convey yourself. And then also, overall, really the most important thing is to be honest and genuine. People like being around other people who are honest and who really let their passion show. I venture to say that, you know, most of you as students enjoy what you do, you're dedicated to it, you're passionate about it, and when that passion can really show through, that's when people will really sit up and pay attention and want to hear more from you and want to speak more with you. Monty, I'll let you add your comments.
Yes, I think that this slide sort of is a very good summary of what we've been talking about, that, you know, basically what does assertiveness look like? And it actually is possible to learn the specific behaviors, and that's what you have on the slide. So I think that it's just summarizes basically what we're talking about, that developing it on the inside obviously is more important than developing it from the outside, but I'm saying that there are specific behaviors that assertiveness will represent, and there they are, you know, on the slide, very nicely summarized by Catherine.
Okay, next slide. We wanted to close this formal didactic part of the presentation with what we thought was a nice slogan that encapsulates some of the challenges, really, to you being able to be assertive. So the statement is, it is not who you are that holds you back. It is who you think you are not. And again, going back to this sense of self-confidence, I remember us having a discussion in a previous classroom about the imposter syndrome and just this fear that you really don't belong there in medical school, that you don't deserve to be among all these bright people. And so we know that self-confidence, it comes naturally to some people, but it doesn't come naturally to everyone. So for instance, if you were raised in an environment where you received a lot of positive reinforcement and encouragement and were made to feel good about your accomplishments, you may have developed a naturally more self-confident approach to life and therefore more assertiveness. But for those of us or those of you who were raised in a more harsh environment where you were criticized or you didn't get much positive reinforcement, you may not have naturally developed this self-confidence. But there are certainly things that you can do to increase self-confidence. And a big part of that is learning to focus on your positive attributes and at the same time acknowledge, you know, I'm nervous in this situation. I'm scared. I'm not sure what to say.
I can't hear anyone.
This is Jeff, and I think you've given us so much great food for thought. You've presented really important issues, but I, as I'm listening to you, it seems like assertiveness is not necessarily something that comes really naturally to people and probably takes practice. It may take some mentoring, which was really the theme of our last talk. But my question for both of you is, in particular, for minority students who may not be in environments that are particularly welcoming, embracing, positive, what are the unique strategies of navigating assertive communication without being misperceived or stepping on toes, or, you know, how does one sort of maximize the potential positive outcome?
Can I just jump in and just find out if everyone can hear me? Hello?
I can hear you.
Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes, we're hearing
I can
you.
Hear
okay.
you fine.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think you lost my audio for a while. My screen froze. And I don't think people could hear me, but it sounds like everyone can hear me now.
Yes, I believe we can.
Okay. All right. So, excellent question, Jeff. And, you know, in preparing for this talk, Monty and I talked about some of the specific challenges that minority students can face in terms of people looking at them, seeing them, judging them based on their appearance, maybe the way they speak, maybe they have an accent, something like that. So, you know, we want to honor and respect that is genuinely a real experience that people have from time to time. And I really want to bring it back to the fact that, you know, regardless of that, they were chosen to be a medical student because they have worked hard, they have the skills, they have the dedication and the drive. And so sometimes it can be difficult because you might not get that reinforcement in your immediate environment when you feel like you stand out and you're so different. So some of it is kind of reflecting, going back to some self-talk, and also being able to reach out to other students similar to yourself, perhaps other groups of students, the various minority medical student groups. And also, I think, you know, as you alluded to, Jeff, really the importance of having a mentor who understands you, whom you connect with, be they somebody from your similar racial background or somebody who you feel this sense of acceptance from. But I think in this example, really, it would be important to be able to gravitate towards those around you or be able to have those folks to talk to who can reinforce you and support you.
It seems to me like assertiveness has to unfold in the context of a real recognition of the power relationship and the power difference, and honoring and respecting that, while at the same time, as you were saying, Dr. Douglas, honoring and respecting my needs and not hushing or silencing myself when there's really something that is of great importance that I need to express.
One thing that I found helpful is practicing. I joined a group called Toastmasters years ago, and it markedly increased my self-confidence and ability to speak up in a group. So if the students could get in a simulated setting or a practice setting like Toastmasters, it might improve their confidence and ability to assert themselves.
Yes, can everyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear
yes.
you.
Yes, the other thing I would add would be acknowledging fear. You know, that and oftentimes we push away fear and deny it. So when we're in those situations, you know, that make us nervous, that nervousness is really fear that we're feeling. And it's very remarkable how just by recognizing and acknowledging, you know what, I am afraid, the fear disappears, you know, as opposed to resisting the fear, then whatever we resist persists. So that's one thing I found, we talked about that we found useful. The other thing is that finding a mentor is somebody that has a positive regard for you and helps you to be your possibility, you know, who you perceive that you could be. That's what a mentor helps you to be. So it doesn't matter what race, what creed, you know, what ethnic background, anyone you can find that seem to have just take a liking to you, you know, is willing to help to coach you, you know, to be who you ultimately want to be. They see something in you that you don't see in yourself. That's really someone to, and just latch right onto them. You know, people are very busy and they don't have time to mentor. You know, the conversations, you know, and all the ups and downs, emotional ups and downs, it's hard, you know. So, but you find someone and they usually just come across your path in an un, you know, unexpected way, and definitely latch onto them so that you can replay some of those difficult situations. You know, tell them, look, I had an encounter today with one of the students where they said something that I thought was, you know, and they might help you to reinterpret that, you know, and say, you know what, I didn't find that was a racial comment, actually. You know, I think that was just, you know, maybe the person was trying to be funny or something, whatever, you know. So latching on and finding mentors, we found, you know, to be very, very useful. And then the other thing is just, is actually getting out of our box, you know, that actually we put ourselves in a box as underrepresented minority faculty, underrepresented minority students. We put ourselves in a box that we, they don't want us to be there, or they don't this, or they don't that, not realizing that that's a box that we created, you know? We said that they don't want to do this. And you know what? Look at Obama. Look at, you know, so many of us that have made it, you know, that actually it's not true a lot of the time, you know? Certainly we can interpret it that way, but if we were to reinterpret it and say, you know what? That's a box I'm creating for myself. I don't want to be in that box. I'm going to think that I can be whoever I want to be. I can do whatever I want to do. That works better, actually, even though it may be true that you're in a box. You know what I'm saying? So these three techniques I found, you know, very useful, and if practiced, that they can help us in those specific situations that that Jeff is talking about.
Yes. So, you know, Jeff, I do want to add that I would like to acknowledge that this is a difficult topic. And I'm very aware when I was preparing the slides and getting ready for the talk that, you know, it's that making a list of behaviors of how you be assertive is not difficult. Actually enacting behaviors can be very difficult. And so I feel like this particular talk is really the beginning of a conversation. And I think we can all reflect on our level of assertiveness now with faculty members having done it for years and when we first started out. And I think it can help us, again, as faculty, to remember where the students are in their developmental stage in terms of studying to become a professional. They're at such an early stage, and a lot of them simply haven't had enough experiences of success and picking up, being in front of others, and really develop that self-confidence and that assertiveness. And so for those of us who are teaching and mentoring and supervising and working with medical students, we must bear in mind to take ourselves back to an earlier time in our own development. We weren't struggled with assertiveness, we struggled with self-confidence. And to be able to really relate and connect them about that and let them know it's okay. It's okay to acknowledge that you're scared or worried or anxious. It's okay. That some of that is about where you are right now in education, and it will get better. Things get better with practice and experience. So I just want to encourage faculty and mentors and advisors and administrators, remember what it was like in those starting out, the beginning years of training.
Well, I appreciate how difficult this topic is, and I really appreciate your presentation. And, you know, I think that one of the realities that we're sitting with is that racism is alive and well in many of the programs where our students are learning, and that means lots of things. It means negative comments, it means differential treatment, and it means that there is this additional burden, as if medical school and studies weren't hard enough, there's this additional burden on figuring out, how do I navigate these situations, sometimes with colleagues, sometimes with patients, sometimes with our teachers. And, you know, I think that you're right. There are times when assertiveness is really called for, and there are times when silence might be the best way forward, and there might be times when mentorship and support really are going to be the salve somehow treating wounds and also in getting fuel to go forward and navigate challenging encounters and situations.
Certainly, certainly. I think you make some very good points, and I think, you know, to be able to legitimize what students experience as a result of racism and discrimination, and that too for them to acknowledge, you know, this doesn't feel good. This is scary. This feels terrible. And to be able to have someone to talk to about that. You know, we want people to be confident and feel good about themselves and so on. But the truth is that a comment, a look, some comment about their appearance or the way they speak or something like that can really cut them down and really silence them. And I encourage students, if any of you are experiencing this, to seek out people whom you trust, whom you can talk to about this. You know, I know all the people in this room are dedicated to really doing our best to make sure that this kind of behavior doesn't continue to go on. But realistically, we do know it's out there. And, you know, we want you to know that this is certainly a safe haven, that anyone can come in here and talk about any experiences that they have had. And we will do our best to support you and be relatable and give you the opportunity to open up and express those difficult feelings.
Thank you. I just want to open up the conversation to everyone in the amphitheater. Feel most free to click your speak button if you have questions, if you have situations, if you have had situations you've navigated with success and or with challenge that we can learn from. All of those comments would certainly be welcome at this point.
Thank you for the presentation. I think you made great points. I think that we have to be mindful of everybody's cultural background and their upbringing. I know that I was raised to respect authority, to not question authority, to be what people would seem call maybe submissive, which is in medicine more assertiveness is valued, and people who are more quiet and don't speak up as much, you may be ignored if that's the case, if you're pretty quiet, As I've gone through medical school and residency and now a faculty member, surrounding yourself with people who are positive, surrounding yourself with people who are supportive, and great mentors really helps. Seeing people model the behaviors that in the field, I think that I have certainly improved tremendously, although, still a little, it's not how I grew up, it's not how I was raised, and personality-wise, it's a little difficult for me, but I think it's important within our field to speak up and to learn to speak clearly and genuinely, as you mentioned earlier. So thank you for the presentation.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your comments. And I can certainly relate to that notion of what assertiveness means in America versus in other cultures, where certainly I can relate to being raised where we didn't question authority, and we didn't, we held back a little bit and showed an extra amount of respect, let's say, just because the person was older than you and an authority figure. And I realize that the meter for assertiveness differs from culture to culture, and that's important for us to remember as teachers, as we're working with our students, and what their norm of assertiveness and speaking up is might be versus ours, or let's say in traditional Western medical culture. And so I really appreciate those comments, and I can certainly relate to them to a certain extent too.
This is Jeff. I have a question both for Sophia and Monty maybe as well. On this journey, Sophia, from sort of the way you were raised to the culture shock of a new medical training environment, were there any specific encounters that you had in which you were successfully assertive that really you would look at as a special turning point for you, where you really did take that leap in the confidence that our presenters were discussing tonight?
I think it's been just small victories throughout, and I cannot even imagine a time where I would have given a lecture, you know, in front of everybody. That would, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that I couldn't even imagine. So I think it's been just small, you know, seeing that. I do something and I'm successful. People respect me, they listen to me. I know what I'm talking about, and I have some knowledge. I think that gave me the confidence to continue. So I think, you know, exactly, it's incremental. You know, you win small victories and that increases your confidence.
From my point of view, I had thought actually for many years that I was assertive. That, you know, coming from a background, political family, and, you know, was in the performing arts and all that in high school, and, you know, singing calypso, reggae, and all that. I really thought, you know, that, you know, being on stage and all that, I thought that I was assertive and confident. But, you know, I took this course back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you know, because of a totally different reason. You know, I was having trouble at work, you know, and I needed to be able to overcome it, you know, overcome barriers. So I said, you know, let me learn how to overcome difficult barriers. So I took this course called Landmark Education, or Landmark Forum, and a 3-day course. I come to find out that I wasn't nearly as confident as I thought I was, and that it really gave me, you know, brought me face to face with my own inauthenticity, you know, and by being able to acknowledge it, and the training that they gave us over that weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was able to get a lot more confident. And then of course I took another course in that same organization, you know, called Advanced Course, an Unmark Advanced Course. And again, there they actually give you practice, you know, calling people, you know, to acknowledge where you've been inauthentic and things like that. And really, really was a huge increase in my ability to be authentic and to be assertive in my daily life. And in my job, you know, and that was, I had a huge increase at that point in who I had been all along. You know, it doesn't turn you into somebody else, but it brings out, it removes barriers from the way of you expressing yourself. But it's a kind of a long answer to your question, Jeff. That was a specific thing, and it happened only 4 or 5 years ago.
Thank you very much, both of you. Anyone else in the room with questions, comments, curiosities? This whole panel of people to advise and guide.
I would say it's important for us to speak up when we see a potential injustice. For instance, if one of a fellow faculty members is coming down real hard on a resident, and the resident happens to be a minority, if we can speak up and recognize the many things that person is doing right and present a more balanced picture. Sometimes it's easier to sit in the background, but I do think it's important to stand up, and these people, minority students, they thrive on that, people recognizing what they're doing right and getting good recognition for that means the world to them. So we shouldn't forget to be an advocate when the situations arise. Any thoughts along this line, or have other people had similar experiences?
I'm thinking of a similar but maybe kind of opposite situation where I recall sitting in a meeting where we were discussing a particular, it was a faculty meeting, a particular attending physician's behavior and his, let's say he was being kind of curt, he was being kind of aggressive, he was being short with everyone, and the comment was made, oh, that's just Dr. So-and-so. And then not long after that, we were talking about one of our residents who is a minority female, and similar comments were being made about her, and they were not as forgiving towards her. Let's say it was more like, you know, she's showing a lack of respect. She is being offensive to the people around her. And, you know, so we have to be aware of how these stereotypes can affect the way minority students are perceived. And to be able to jump in and say, okay, wait a minute, we were just talking about this behavior with another person who is different to this person that we're talking about, and we're excusing that other person's behavior, but attributing this person's behavior, the student's behavior, to something negative. You know, let's look at that for a minute. Let's think about that for a minute. And to be able to speak up when you see those kind of injustices appearing also.
Yes.
Anything, any last comments before we wind down for tonight?
Well, I'd just like to thank you, Jeff, and Pam, and as you said, Boston University, and, you know, White Memorial, you know, and just for giving us the opportunity to share, you know, some thoughts with the students and faculty. And we've grown, you know, just from preparing and delivering this talk and participating in the conversation, a very rich conversation, and I really appreciate the opportunity to help. And thanks for putting it together, Jeff. You know, kudos to you.
Well, it really is my pleasure. Thank you. But the thanks really go to both of you, to Monty, Catherine, for taking on a tough topic and for bringing it to us with so much heart and sensitivity and thoughtfulness and tangible tools, all of those things. I want to comment also, Dr. Douglas, I like your hairdo. We don't always see your non-avatar sporting such curls up there. So we always end our gatherings with a small dance. So let me ask all of you to stand up and walk down here to the front of the amphitheater. And I'm going to actually turn the microphone over to Neil, who's going to show us how we get the dance going. Before we start to dance, let me just remind everyone that we will be holding our next gathering on August 15th. That will be preparing for standardized exams. Dr. Bros and Dr. Kulkarni will be providing lots of helpful, tangible skills for what often feels like a daunting task. So, now, thank you again for your participation. Thank you, Pam, for your guidance, Neil, you as well, and Robin. And now we'll turn it over to you for the last dance.
Should we try the new jukebox, Jeff?
Please do it. Oh, let's go.
All right. So folks won't have to walk quite as far, but this is one of the ways we can do the dancing. If you see behind me, and I'll walk over right next to it, there's a jukebox over here. If you click on the jukebox, You will get a screen that comes up with numbers. Each of the numbers is a different dance move. Once you click on a number, you will get just a confirmation that says, yes, you do want to animate your avatar. And once you hit the yes button, your avatar will start to dance. If it doesn't work the first time, just try it a second time. All you need to do is click on it. You don't need to be on the jukebox, but your avatar might move over next to it. Put your cursor on the jukebox.
Let's just say, if it doesn't work,
the jukebox is right here on the stage, just stage left. Again, click on the jukebox. A box with numbers will come up. Click on one of the numbers, and you'll get another box that says, "Do you want to animate your avatar?" A little Tom Petty. How nice. Once your avatar is dancing, you can still use your arrow keys to move around. If you want to change your dance move, just repeat the same steps. Click on the jukebox, click another number, and your avatar will move. If you want to stop your avatar from dancing, and you should stop your avatar from dancing before you leave, do the same procedure. Click on the jukebox, and then in this case, click on the stop button.
Nice assertive dance moves here on the dance floor tonight.
JC911971, are you still having problems? And Dr. Douglas? It looks like you're trying to click on the jukebox, right? Try stepping back a little bit away from it first. And then just click on it. Douglas, are you getting the box with the numbers or not?
Dr. Douglas, in the upper right-hand corner should be a black box with numbers, like there was with the chairs.
Remember, you need to click on your speak button to tell us whatever problem you're having.
There you go.
Once you're dancing, you can continue to use your arrow keys to move yourself forward, backwards, wherever you want to go. Jeff may show us. Jeff may or may not show us his dancing while flying move, but that's usually when the evening gets crazy.
That's when the happy hour really gets happy. Anyway,
I feel free to stay and dance as long as you like. and also feel free to take off if you need to. But we had a blast with you all tonight. Thank you for being here.
And just remember, when you do leave, it's not an essential, but it's a good idea to stop your avatar from dancing by doing the same procedure. Click on the jukebox, in this case, hit the stop button, and your avatar will stop, and that's a better way to